This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
She's one of the biggest pop stars in the world.
You know, we can chamber one for next year.
By the way, where is he from? Like, we always say near Glasgow. We never actually... No, he's just near Glasgow.
Edinburgh? It's like having a parent, right, who's really strict, sends you to boarding school, homework, tutor.
Big to-do list.
J-Lo, music videos, load of pricks, it's all going off. Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Peter Crouch, Chris Stark and Statman Dave with me as usual. You all right, boys?
Yeah, good.
It's weird, as I was walking up the road here, I thought, isn't it fun what we get to do?
It's a valid point.
We just have a shandy, we talk a load of rubbish, and then there we go, done.
That last podcast, though, one of my favourites so far.
Yeah, just so much came out of it. The load of pricks, you know, setting up the website and selling a house.
Did you ever think that you'd be that into being an estate agent?
No, but it just sort of, things grow on, you know, when we just talk, things just come of it. And, you know, that J-Lo song as well, like, I was a huge fan of the Load song.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things that we should update people on that have come from the last podcast. If you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to it. If you're new to this podcast, welcome along. We wanted to set up this estate agency called loadofpricks.com, made a little jingle for it. The only thing is, we couldn't get hold of that website. Unbelievably, it exists already.
Incredible.
So we have set up this website. This is the update. I know loads of you will have seen this on social. There is now a website, but you need to type in loadofpricks.net.
Loadofpricks.net.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you're right, the J-Lo song, it's just everywhere it feels now.
Seems to have really taken off. You know, I've had people at weddings singing it. There's been requests in pubs and nights out, and lots of people have really taken to it.
Yeah, I saw this amazing video on, I think it was on Twitter. It was a guy at a wedding. I think what's happened is they've requested it. So the DJ's put it on and then he's come onto the dance floor, almost like Ricky Gervais, sort of dancing in the office.
Dance floor's pretty clear at that point as well. So it's maximum impact.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Great.
Yeah, because you can see a couple of what looked like bridesmaids in the background as well. And they're just trying to do very the confused. Quiet, like, nice, classy thing. And he's like, let's drink loud. It's awesome. And we should encourage this more at weddings in particular. I think it's even funnier. But nightclubs, whatever, go request the J-Lo song. And then
do we have an update on the J-Lo? Is she on board yet?
She's not on board. It's weird. I've seen a few people tag her on socials, but she hasn't nibbled yet.
I reached out to someone that I know that manages her agency in this country, in the UK. I won't use his exact words, but he feels that it might be a struggle.
Right. Yeah, because that's interesting, because I went at it from a Radio 1 point of view and just started initial discussions, and the message I got back was quite similar as well.
Yeah.
Backup plan here, guys. I think if we can't get hold of J-Lo, we should either get hold of another prominent female pop star to be the face of.
Well, funny you say that, actually. I've spent time with Camila Cabello recently.
I think I've seen a video of this. You were teaching her the robot. For something,
yes.
Champions League.
So I was at Champions League final in Paris. You know, I had 10 minutes with Camila Cabello.
That's all right.
And I was able to speak to her about potentially advertising Laute.
Good. That's great. Because I often think with this podcast, it's you're quite serious when you do the football stuff on TV. And I think sometimes you separate the podcast slightly, you know?
Nice to get that crossover.
Champions League, Camila Cabello, the Laute.
Now, I don't know if I could speak to you about it, but I got her to record a message for us.
Yeah.
But this message, I don't think she really knew what she was doing. And then her people came out afterwards and were very stern about me, you know, her not being associated with alcohol.
Yeah. So you fired into the WhatsApp group saying, I've just got the best video of Camila Cabello talking about a Laute. The problem is, she obviously didn't realise what a laout was.
Yeah, bizarrely, she wasn't across it.
But she wanted to do the video, I think, to kind of to support you because you'd asked. She wanted
to
do it.
Yeah, we had a good rapport, and I think she felt that she would like to help me out.
I'm wondering how we can do this on the podcast. Like, how about we play it, and so that she's not endorsing, because that was her wish, right? She doesn't endorse.
She doesn't want to endorse alcohol.
Because, yeah, so why don't we just bleep bits out of it?
We could potentially bleep out any use of the laout.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, then you play it to us. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast and there's bits bleeped out, it's been decided that you guys can't hear maybe every word, but we'll listen to every word now. And
yeah, but also, you know, if you see me around in pubs or whatever, please feel free to come up to me and I'll just show you it.
All right, let's give this a play.
Hey guys, it's Camila. I'm here with Crouch. I'm so happy that my UK fans won't be harsh anymore.
Oh, that is better than I thought. She's one of the biggest pop stars in the world. Just please, my UK fans won't be parched. Oh, bless her.
Fair play to her. One take wonder. She was brilliant.
Yeah. Knowing we can't use that, though, that would have been perfect. Brewdog would have been buzzing about that.
It would be hyped. I think, you know, now J-Lo's, you know, as much as she might not want to be involved, there's competition on the market now.
Betting J-Lo for me in my eyes after that.
All right. We'll keep tagging J-Lo in and any sort of let's drink lout vids that you put up. Joel's Mike Dean song as well. That's gone down very, very well. I actually got a message from Mike Dean.
Really? No, directly?
He's on Instagram. Like, I think he's just finished reffing and has decided to sign up to Instagram, which might be news to you listening right now. It's worth a follow. Not many pictures up on there.
Oh, so he's brand new, is it?
Brand new, yeah. So his first picture is him, reffing. You know, in his ref clobber. Next one, retirement's fully kicked in. Nice glass of red wine. Mm. And then apart from that, it's exactly what you'd expect. A couple of golf pics.
Golf selfie.
Anyway, he did message. Says, Chris, it's absolutely class. He's got it off to a T. Had this on repeat today. Cracking tune.
Brilliant. So he's really pleased with it. That's great.
He's really happy with it. So it'd be great to maybe make a music video of that with Mike Dean. We can look into all this sort of stuff another time. And we can... Oh, it's a big to-do list.
J-Lo, music videos, load of pricks. It's all going off.
Yeah. It's great. We're only a few episodes into this podcast, but it feels like we're, like every series, getting on with a few fun things. So plenty to update you on there. We've also got to discuss this Mayo housery, which we'll get onto later.
Yeah, I'm not too pleased with this. I think that's a very important podcast issue that needs looking into.
Yeah, and we'll go through some of your messages too. I really like these episodes where we get to drill down on a specific part of football. So that's what we'll be doing every week when we've not got a guest with us. That relegation episode, a huge response to that on the socials.
There were some points in that really hit hard, but you know, because you're failing at the thing you're most passionate about.
Yeah.
And it was hard to go through it all again, really, because they, you know, I didn't enjoy any of those relegations, obviously. It's easy going through the goals and the wins, but not so easy going through them. So yeah, I found that tough, but I think, you know, we got some good stuff out of it. It was interesting.
I think it brings a real emotive side to footballers, because we do think that team gets relegated, the players don't care.
Well, that
altogether.
Is the suspicion, yeah.
And you know, I spoke to some of my mates at Sport Stoke, and again, they've seen it in a different light now.
So look, it's that part of the season, and it was really interesting chats on the last podcast. Go give that a listen if you're new. And if you are new, by the way, welcome along. This episode is going to be about that period immediately after the final game of the season. So we're going to get stuck into what players get up to as soon as they don't have to worry about training or playing. We've called it the off-season episode, but is there a name that footballers have for that gap between, you know, the end of one season and the start of another? The Gooch? We can't call this podcast that Gooch podcast, can we?
I think we just have.
All right, loads to discuss here, Crouchy. Let's get into this. But before we get into the Gooch, so to speak, a little update on everyone that's been passing the pod. So last episode, we decided to give away Crouchy's England Man of the Match champagne as a kind of award or reward for anyone that is passing the pod in a creative way.
In a creative way, yeah. We need something, you know, different from the norm. Something where you really help pass the pod to at least one person, but preferably more than that.
And I think this has always been the magical thing about this podcast. You guys make it what it is. You sort of advertise it. We're just three lads in a pub and you guys project it and get it around the place. And it means we keep on going. And we really noticed that with this new series, because we're on a new feed and people have got to resubscribe, there's a little bit of admin involved. We still get so many messages from people going, when are you going to bring the pod back? Like, stop dicking around. And we've said this the last couple of weeks. Right? Obviously, we're back. If you're listening to this, we're back. But we do need your help to get the message out there. And you guys have just been fucking amazing, frankly.
Yeah, I've got something that I need to stress to you, lads. I don't know. I've not told any of you this, by the way.
Here we go.
My agent's got a call from the Prime Minister of Vanuatu's people inviting us over to basically meet some dignitaries and record a podcast in Vanuatu.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Obviously, we got ambassador in Vanuatu, and yeah. Vanuatu was somewhere that we didn't in one of the earlier series of the pod. We talked about it, and we were like, "Where the hell is that?" And then, yeah, I'm just saying that there's an open invitation for us to go to Vanuatu and meet everyone.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm absolutely shell-shocked.
You talk about passing the pod, but, you know, they're passing the pod in Vanuatu and they're some of our staunchest supporters out there.
But a podcast from Vanuatu, I don't think, I think that's breaking new ground, isn't it?
I don't think any pods.
It's going international, proper international, that.
Yeah, I'm very keen to make
it's
this
a bit
happen.
Of a ball ache. I looked into it. It's a Sydney flight, and then again.
It's further than Sydney.
Yeah.
I've never travelled that far.
I've never travelled to Sydney.
Yeah. It's a lovely invitation, isn't it?
It's just something to ponder. Let's crack on with the messages.
Yeah, sorry. But look, we've got so many messages from people that are after your man of the match, Champagne Crouchy. How about this one from Ryan? Says, I work at a car auction house where we sell hundreds of cars every day. I regularly set all the car radios to play the pod when customers are browsing.
Oh, fantastic.
I recently overheard a group of punters talking about their pancakes at their five-a-side, so I think it's finally paying off.
Great work, Ryan.
Genius idea, Ryan. I really like that one.
I got a message here from Mikkel in Denmark. I work at a school and recently sneaked into the principal's office. Into the tannoy, I shouted, subscribe to the PH podcast and remember to pass the pod. I think he's got all the key messages there. He's done it. I don't know. Has he done it in Danish or English? I'm not sure. But he's got the key messages and it's gone to the whole school. That's well done, Mikkel.
Got a message here from Ian. Now, Ian's, we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, we thought it was a name that was dying out. We were quite keen that, I can't even remember why we were doing this, but we were asking people that were having babies to name their baby Ian just to sort of repopulate the world with Ians.
I've lost the reasoning why we did that.
A message from Ian. Do you want to read that one, Crouchy?
I'll read it for you. Yeah. He says, I was listening to the Aaron Ramsdale episode when I got pulled over by the police. My heart sank, but the officer was just checking tax details. He saw I was listening to the pod and asked if there was a new series. He didn't know it was back. I decided to be a bit parchy and I informed him that it was on a new feed. As the policeman walked away from the car, he double tapped my roof and said, back stronger.
That's, I mean,
it, what an exchange.
If it happened, that's amazing, isn't it?
Are you doubting him?
I'm just saying, a policeman walking off, tapping the car, back stronger.
If you're a policeman, right, bear in mind, you're in a car all day, the radio's got to be on when it's not, you know, announcing things happening.
I think if we can be a podcast that sort of represents our emergency services and they can pass the pod. The thing is, that was such a respectful interaction if it was real, wasn't it? They've passed the pod to the police officer and it's been reciprocated. It's all been nice. I think you get double points if you pass the pod to an emergency worker, in my eyes.
Mm.
So it's an unusual exchange, isn't it? Like if you're in an ambulance and you're having a heart attack, but the last thing you can say is pass the pod or like we're on a new feed. Like I think you should get double points for that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If your last words are pass the pod or bat stronger,
yeah,
that's how you've got to bow out one day.
Yeah, but I worry that, you know, I'm lying, you know, because I'm not going to be back stronger at any point.
So this is what we're saying. If you are an emergency worker, please pass the pod to your patients or your criminals you're arresting or, you know, if
What the hell is going on?
Equally, sir, you're coming to the slammer with me, but remember, the Peter Grounds podcast on a new feed.
The prisoners you're arresting.
So this is a bit of a rallying cry. Get in touch with your ingenious ways of passing the pod. Email is...
It's peter.crouch@acast.com.
And obviously, you can do this in quite an elaborate way, but you can also do it in a bit simple way as well.
The simple, boring, statistician way is just telling one of your pals. And if everyone does that, the message will get around.
Missionary.
It's basically missionary. It's so boring.
Dave here is the ambassador of missionary.
Look, I'll take that responsibility, guys. Right, lads, it's time to talk about the Gooch. Or the off-season, however you want to phrase it. Crouchy, what was it like after that final whistle of the last game of the season? How did you feel?
The whistle goes and families are involved now, and you've got that little walk around the pitch to sort of thank the fans. And if you've been, unfortunately I've been relegated, and walk around and thank the fans and you think, what am I doing out here? I've been, we've had a shit season. And
you don't bring the family for that one, do you?
Generally speaking. Depends sort of how the vibe is in the stadium, really. You can usually gauge it. A lot of things hinge on how the game's gone that particular day. Even if you've got relegated, if you've won or done well, you think, I can bring one kid on, maybe.
That's amazing. What level of family am I bringing on here?
Well, the one that I dislike the most. You can come on with me and get absolutely abused the whole way around. Generally, at the end of the season, even the fans who, in a difficult season, are appreciative of the players that wear their shirt, and they might have let them down over the course of the season, but you do have that sort of bond where you're all together, and it's like, yeah, we've been relegated, but we can chump a one for next year.
I think by that bit of the season, though, I think you're at a point where, as long as people put an effort on that final game, even if you've had a shocker all season, it's kind of, you went into that game as a fan knowing that you were likely to be relegated or...
But on the flip side of that, if you've had a above average season or you've won a trophy, for instance, like, it's a celebration. And, we saw City recently, like, the whole culmination of a 38-game season plus all the cup competitions, and you've been the length and breadth of the country.
I really get the impression that the club loses control so quickly after that final whistle. It feels like it amazes me in some ways that there's so much restraint all year, right? And I think it's great to see when your team has done well and they can get out in the town, but it's like
that last day happens. It's like having a parent. Right, it's really strict, sends you to boarding school, homework, tutor. And then you've got that trip booked to Malia at the end of the year and you go and go mental. That's exactly what it's like. It's like you've been told to do something for those 8 months to achieve something, and then you've got a month, 2 months off to do whatever you want.
But where's the tipping point with it? Is it, because to me it feels like it happens almost immediately.
I think it is.
It feels like... Like, take City, for example. It's like suddenly they're interfering with the pundits that are trying to present from the game. On that last day of school, you'd finished school and you would technically still be in the school property, but you were off. Like, it was a half day.
You're setting off fire extinguishers. Releasing shirts are getting ripped open. There's tires, ground heads. That's exactly what it's like. It's like, but the thing is, football.
Does the manager try and corral you?
No,
back?
He's gone as well. He's gone.
Everyone's just sat it off.
He's in Barbados with Graham Souness.
What is the first pint like in the Gooch?
Oh, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. You know what's nice is like that reflection as well. Like, go and have a beer and think, like, I've actually got now. Think, just bear in mind, like, in this modern day as well, now, like, there's no days off at all, right? So imagine you had no days off and it was all about your dedication to your craft and like not going out and everything that was fun for people of 23, 24 is taken away from you. And then someone goes to you, right, that season's finished, right? That dedication's over. You've got 6 weeks to do what you want. Like, you could understand it going, people letting their hair down, and it needs to happen. Otherwise, mentally.
No, I think it's great to see. It's just the speed with which it changes. That first drink that you have then, as Dave was saying, where is that first drink, Crouchy? Is it on the pitch? It's like, do the beers just come out straight away? Or is it in Is it in the changing room, or is it that moment when you're in a pub late with your mates and you're being reflective? What's the best moment?
Sometimes I found myself being on holiday in the first couple of days, and I'd look down and I'd be on my sun lounger and I'd have my feet like that, and I'd look down at various scars on my shin and think that was Newcastle away. And that was like, and I'd have them all over me, like my feet were like in bits from the whole season, you know, and like my back was sore, and I'd think, oh, do you remember that injury that I had? And like, you'd think back and your body would hurt, and you'd think back to the games where it hurt the most, and then you'd find yourself in a mad place of thinking about the goals that you scored, or the bad games that you had, or the good games, or the ones that got away, or the chances you missed.
Let's get to that, Crouchy. I'm just fascinated. You know, those, so the final whistle goes, everyone's free. Okay, some people bring family onto the pitch and stuff like that. But then it seems players just get a free pass. It's like family time. And then, I noticed that Grealish went, Grealish was extraordinary at the end of the season, right? He went from final whistle, all the stuff on the pitch. The bus thing looked like he'd been on it for, you know, since the final whistle. And then I'm saying hours later, I see Wayne Lineker with his arm round him in Obi. You know, and he's there smiling away. He's got his chain on. It's all good, really.
Yeah. He must have gone out quick, but you get away quick. It's a short window, and the quicker you do it, you have all your fun, whatever, at the early days, and then take the family away, get fit again, ready for pre-season, you know? Yeah. The mad ones straight away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Ocean Beach with Wayne Lineker, you got to get out there quick.
Have you got a picture with him? I don't know if you're a footballer unless Wayne Lineker's got a picture with you at O Beach.
Mm. Well, I've been to Ocean Beach. I've been there. Yeah, it's a staple for any footballer. Got to get out there, otherwise you're not a player, are you?
No, not in the modern game.
The managers do that boring spiel where they say, don't do this, don't do that.
At the end of a season, right, where you've had so much hard work and, you know, you've put everything into it, so many games, you find yourself doing like running tests and doing strength tests and doing fat tests. So when you come back first day, they've got all the data. If you come back out of shape, you get fined straight away.
But isn't that mad that you've got managers and football clubs that are measuring you at your most elite level? You're there at that point of the season. It's crunch for so many games. And then very quickly, it's like, so they get you the week before, and then Wayne Lineker inherits all of these like peak
super athletes really good springs.
And then almost does the opposite of a manager because he is in a way a manager of his own type, isn't he? Mm. He looks after the players' welfare at O Beach. It's like he goes from Pep Grealish to Wayne.
It is actually, if you think about it, it is very strange, isn't it? You go from Guardiola to Wayne Lineker.
What do you think he learned?
In a day.
What does he learn from Wayne?
And Pep, I wonder if...
there's a lot you could learn from Wayne.
Do you think Pep phones Wayne and is like, it wouldn't be great if they collaborated?
Well, they should collaborate. Look, Pep should say, look, you know, he's had a great season. I want him to enjoy himself. Wayne, and you know, Kyle's going to be there. Stones, Grealish. Look after him.
Yeah.
Make sure they get a nice section.
He can do all his hands and everything.
Yeah, you know, he could even stipulate, you know, I want, like, you know, everyone knows, you know, it's vodka soda now. Your soda's more hydrating. Have a water in between vodkas.
Yeah.
Look after him.
But then in reverse, Wayne should be able to say what he wants from Guardiola. Like, what I mean is it should be...
Can't be one without the other.
It should be collaborative. But it wouldn't be
what
great...
What would Wayne say to Pep, though, like, during the season? Give him a night out tonight.
Yeah.
He's allowed a night out. He's played well today.
Yeah.
Let him have a night. He doesn't play till Tuesday.
Wayne Lineker is the real assistant manager at Man City right now.
Two of the finest club managers of our time.
Two of the world's greatest club managers. When does someone fire into the WhatsApp group, like, plans for summer, we're doing it? Because you do need to book all this stuff in advance, don't you?
I'd say you come out at Christmas and... that's when you start branching out. I mean, Claire Traveller get a text about just end of Jan.
Do managers or chairmen, it's in their interest to kind of incentivize you a bit with holidays, isn't it? So do they start creeping into the picture at some point? They're like, look, boys, get this done. We're all going to go on a massive trip to da-da-da.
Well, I heard recently, I was talking to someone at Ebbsfleet. There's a playoff game and they lost in the lot. I think it was in extra time. And one of the Ebbsfleet lads said there was a rumour that they got, if they won, they got a trip to Marbella. And he reckons
that was the difference.
That was the difference.
Is that housery? Have they sneaked it into the Ebbsfleet camp and said, oh, lads, we're off. We're on holiday, we are. Chairman's covering the lot.
Could be a bit of housery.
Beers, yeah. Vodka, whatever.
Holiday housery.
Yeah.
But how do you account for that in stats, Dave? Because if you see an anomaly like that, but a trip to Marbella has been promised, you know?
But like that, it's got a 100% conversion rate at the moment.
Yeah. But also, you know,
expected
that...
Expected holidays.
Exactly. You'd be motivated. Crouchy's saying he's thinking about that in January. So the expected H is going to be pretty high at that point. And then through the season, it's just going to get bigger.
Also, at that level, there's always a wealthy chairman and the players aren't as wealthy, obviously, as the chairman in that league. Usually, you know, a millionaire local boys bought the club and they might not be professional. So like a trip to Marbella is a big deal, you know, with all the lads.
Well, not with all. I mean, like, because there'll be some players that want, you know, a nice sort of cultured trip.
Yeah, there's always a few.
That's what I mean. So what trips do you think best incentivize the players? And does that vary from team to team, do you think?
That Milan team of the 90s, you know, with Baresi and Maldini, I don't think Valeracchi's going to cut it for them.
What about Crouchy at Portsmouth then? Let's start there.
We had a good group there. Yeah, we had a good group there. I mean, we had a couple of trips to Dubai. Very eventful trips. Yeah, I always remember that. Yeah, what? We had a kit man called Squirrel. And he ran and jumped in this bush a couple of times. And that was hilarious. But then Pennant thought it'd be funny to jump in the pool. And he bombed the pool bar. So yeah, like people are sitting in the pool having a nice drink with their wives. He bombed the pool bar. And then everyone went mad, obviously, you know, as you'd expect, you know, footballers, they're a disgrace. You know, he's bombing the pool bar. We're here with our family. This is awful, you know. So we said, you know, he came back. We said, that was a very funny pen, but you know, don't do that again. Anyway, I've turned around. He's doing 50 yards, I think. Double bomb. He's gone again.
Back to back bombing.
He's gone again, right?
These poor people.
I'm not joking. It's a tidal wave over the whole thing. The barman's got a shirt on. He's drenched. The alpha male of the people at the bar has gone berserk. He's like, you're a disgrace. Got the manager over. He's calmed the situation down. The manager, we've all gone, you know, obviously the more sensible people have gone, so sorry. He won't do this again. 15 minutes later, right? I know he's gone about 100 yards this time. And I've turned around and he is full hammer this time. From the pool bar again.
He's got the hat trick.
Three times. Impressive. I'm not proud of it. No one's proud of it. I don't think Penn's proud of it. But again, very funny.
Yeah. That's what the Gooch is all about, isn't it? Like, it's that time that you've sort of...
Players let themselves down.
It's not the manager's control anymore, is it?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So obviously we talked a bit about how you guys celebrate as a team at the end of the season, but how does it work with players that are going? So their contracts are up or there's transfers. They still come along on the holidays and...
There's no sentiment in football. The minute you sign somewhere else, your locker is cleaned out, your boots are gone and you're gone. And you mightn't even said goodbye to anyone. You're just somewhere else now.
But at the end of the season, do you not have a leaving do or...
Like if you're retiring from football, yeah, you might have a send-off. We'll have a retirement do or, you know, a gathering or something.
No, but let's say you're going in the summer. Strong rumours you're going to be going in the summer.
It's always a strong rumour. It's like, and also you don't want to say your goodbyes. And I always remember, like,
can't do a leaving do if you're not actually leaving. It.
But,
like, honestly,
but that was the thing with like Marko Arnautović, for instance. Like, I remember he wanted to leave Stoke, and he would always say, you know, all these clubs are after him. We'd all laugh about it, and I always used to say to him, like, you'll be there in that position. And he'd go, no, I'm leaving. I said, I bet you, you'll be here pre-season. We always just say it to him, and he was always there. But, like, you don't want to be, give it last.
Was he genuinely sure? Was it a joke? Like, he was genuinely...
No, he was certain, yeah. He always thought he was going on to bigger and better things.
So when he'd then turn up that first day, when he'd be back?
No, he'd absolutely abuse him.
Told you so.
Ah. We used to give him loads of stick, yeah. But he was a great lad. Like, I absolutely love playing with him.
Did you lads see the story about Erling Haaland giving his former teammates a watch?
No, I'm not across this, Dave.
So before he left Borussia Dortmund, he gifted each of his teammates a Rolex watch, a luxury one, worth €15,000. Is that, have you ever heard of anything like that before? Of teammates leaving and leaving a little...
I have, yeah. Samuel Eto'o for the Cameroonian national team. I want to remember that because Atsu Okoto turned it down.
Refused the watch.
I just said, I'll buy my own watch, thanks.
That's the spirit. Imagine you did that at Christmas, like just friends, family,
strange
anyone.
One. But yeah, so what's Haaland? So how old's Haaland? 21? He's 21. It's a lot of 15 grand watches.
So it equates to around €495,000 on gifts. It's only going to take him 8 days at Man City to make that money back. But I also looked at other things that he could buy for that money. Number one, he could have flown each of his teammates from Dortmund to London, London to Dubai, and then Dubai to Sydney, and then Sydney to...
Vanuatu.
Bang, he could have done that. Each of his teammates plus 4 family members. Next option, he could have bought the squad for next season 15 beer bikes. For the squad to share.
Oh, wow.
Motivation thing. And then you could.
Expensive beer bikes, though, isn't it?
Oh, apparently, they're around €25,000.
Oh, I thought we were paying for those.
No, owning it.
I thought, quite like, European, for that as well, isn't it? Like, it's quite something quite nice about that.
Mm. If you wanted to go for a car, let's say, you know, everyone likes a car, you could get them a 2015, each of the players, a 2015 Volkswagen Polo with 33,000 miles on the clock, wrapped in mint green.
Yeah.
That would fit to the budget.
It's the one I had. I had that when I was 17, 18. That was my first car.
Finally, this is the real big one. This is one that I'd consider that he should have gone with. He could have bought each of his teammates 42,817 Freddos based on the Freddo price index.
Yeah, which, what? By the way, a Freddo now is about £300, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah, 30p, but it's tripled
really?
In value.
Yeah, it was 10p, wasn't
10p,
it?
10p, yeah.
It is a small... And they're slightly smaller now as well because they have to be healthier, don't they?
They do, yeah.
They need to be healthy as
well. You know, that's how I think a lot of the time they get away with things.
How can a Freddo be healthy?
They get away with it. They say it's better for you because it's smaller. I'm like, well, it's not. No, listen, I'm not. Listen, I don't know. But Toffee crisps are definitely smaller.
Everything's smaller now.
I fucking love a Toffee crisp. If they're listening and like to get involved in this podcast, I bloody love that.
I haven't seen a Toffee Crisp for years.
Mate, they're so good. I'm not even joking. Like, I love them.
Chris, question for you, right? If you had 42,817 Toffee Crisps, what the hell would you do with them?
Drop his trousers, by the way. Talking of Erling Haaland, how's he going to do, Dave? Is he going to be a success?
On average, he scored a goal every 84 minutes for Borussia Dortmund. In reference to maybe a Premier League star, Sergio Aguero has the best minutes to goal ratio ever. He's scoring a goal every 108 minutes. Haaland is a joke.
I think he's going to change the game, mainly because of his running style. I think you're going to see more players running like Haaland. It certainly changed how I run for a train. Like, if you really do the arms and put your head down,
really?
You look...
Do
like,
you?
If you,
no, you get there?
Think about it, Crouchy. Like, you look... Up until Haaland started doing this, you look weird. But when you fully commit how he does in a straight line, I think he's made it sort of acceptable to run like that.
To like run like you're breathing out your ass.
Everyone else gets out your way. Mm. They're not your problem. You're just very direct about it. And I think that's what Haaland's really going to bring to the Premier League and to people running for their train in general. Wider than that. Me included, Crouchy.
I would pay to see you Haaland to the train.
Let's meet you.
I would pay to see it.
Dave, if you're up for it as well, we fit like one of them Francis train cameras to our heads.
Like a GoPro.
Both run to the train.
Run to the train.
Haaland style.
What about if we chase a tube? Haaland style.
Do you know, I love those videos where they, like these guys, they get off a train at one station. And then in the time the train has managed to go to like the next station or two stops time, they've managed to run to that station. So jump off at the underground.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Is it?
And we should do that Haaland style.
Fuck, that's going to happen, isn't it?
but the idea that everyone now, when you run, is because I think there's a lot of people who run for fun and it's like longer distances. What I'm talking about here is people that just need it in the locker. It's pancake. What Haaland does very well is pancaking.
Let's get one of the vests as well so we can track ourselves.
Yeah.
Sprints, top That's speed.
Nice. And we'll analyse it when we're done.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stay tuned. I've got a message here from Jack. He says, I could do the shirts with the manager's name on it for our lads' holiday to Malia. Awesome. Perfect. Only problem is there's 8 of us, so I wondered if you could provide us 2 more names. So let me run through the names. We've got, obviously, this was on the Joe Cole episode. We've got myself and Joe. We've got Sven-Goran Eriksson, Harry Redknapp, Carlo Ancelotti, and everyone's got an Avram.
Yeah, this really works for me, boys, because I look back at what was being talked about there, and obviously we wanted names of managers that you boys had played for. And I did think to myself, even though Capello was ruled out, don't you think Capello can be like the Will from In Between Us?
A little bit awkward on the dance floor.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Briefcase
wanker is basically what we're talking about here, right? Like that lineup that you talk about is a real party lineup, but we should allow for a couple of the ones.
I know what you mean. I think an organizer, someone who wears the bum bag, someone who says, give me the passports, I'll take care of it. I feel like that could be a Capello, but it could be a Rafa. So like a Rafa could go, I've got the bum bag on, give me the passports. Someone who wakes you up with a coffee in the morning, knocks you on the door, how are you feeling? How's the head today?
Will you choose? So who would you rather add to that group, Benitez or Capello?
Well, I'm just looking at the group, right? Avram, gone off the rails. No one knows where he is. Crouch could be have a big hangover. Redknapp's probably struggling. Sven's, God knows where Sven is. you know, I just think Rafa could, you know, he's got the itinerary, he's printed it off.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to this restaurant tonight. You know, there's a nightclub there. I've heard this site is amazing. Let's go and have a look at that if anyone's up.
Oh, I really like that, Dave. I don't know what you're thinking, but what I'm thinking with these boys.
Yeah.
So we've got 6 there that we suggested with Joe Cole. And now we have Benitez, right?
Just to organise everything, you know, like I feel like he's, you know, the sensible head, you know, he's organised itineraries, booked the flights.
Great. So I think we've got 7 out of 8 here with Rafa. What should we do for the last name?
I just think, you know, if you're going on a lad's holiday, there's always someone, like if it's a stag dude, it's always like the wife's friend's brother. You know, something like that, one of those. So I just think a wild card kind of, no one knows what he's got. He could be mental, he could be boring, he could be like putting stuff on social media that no one wants on there. He could be a loose cannon, he could be a fighter. So, you know, oh God, you need to distance yourself from him. It's Erik ten Hag.
That's a brilliant shot.
Nobody knows what he's like. It's a real unpredictable one.
Let's do that then. So do you want to do the full rundown, Crouchy? So for the lads going to Malia, Jack, we want to see these names on the back of the shirts.
Sven, Redknapp, Ancelotti, Avram, Cole, Crouch, Rafa, Ten Hag.
That's a great party, that.
That's Malia. Imagine when they round that corner, as we've all done for the first time. You know, as you enter in the strip, right, you enter that corner and you just see the lights going down. That rep comes out trying to convince you that, you know, you should all go into that first club, and you're there in those names. Like,
and Rafa goes, it's not us tonight. We're going to that one. Ten Hag and Avram have gone A1 already.
It was great testing their out the other week. Sensational. Really, really good beer. But I believe that we've made some inroads in the design and the artwork. Some very impressive designs coming through.
More on that in a moment. Here's the latest email from the BrewDog Beer Wizard. He says, after your taste testing session and following report, I've been working on the first BrewDog Loat and will be able to send a can for you to taste very soon.
What?
Exciting stuff. There's a can in progress. You'll be able to suggest any improvements before we make the larger final batch for the end of the series. The BrewDog bosses are loving Sam's jingle. It's an incredible jingle. It'd be amazing to get J-Lo involved in the marketing.
Is that what BrewDog are saying?
BrewDog are saying they're up for J-Lo. They're up. They've okayed
That's
it.
That's good to hear.
BrewDog have okayed it. We're in. In terms of advertising, we need a few strap lines for the billboards that we'll produce to launch the Loat. Here's some guidance for the branding experts for listeners who want to come up with a slogan. Aim for 3 to 9 words. It should either summarize the beer, the reason for the name, or the people involved. And finally, the can design has been signed off by the bosses. They think Crouch in his pants is a good way of selling the Loat. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a huge fan of this particular can.
No, I think you like the design.
It's just a bit unflattering on me. You understand my thoughts. I get the Wembley headphones. The pants do look female. The bikini, perhaps, but they look like abs pants, them. And then I've got lots of hairs. And look at my hamsters.
You've got proper pork sausage hands, haven't you?
Have a look at my teeth, though.
The hair on the legs and the arms, yeah. I don't really understand.
I mean, he's a big fan of you, and he doesn't like me at all. Simon Painter. But, you've got Sugar Babe allowed? Can you keep Sugar Babe in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to draw heat for Sugar Babe.
That's the only heat you've got there. Look at me.
I mean, the only other question mark is what I'm doing with my right hand.
Yeah, it does look like
you're pissing into a pint and you're about to drink a half piss, half...
That's wow. If you're being complimentary.
Yeah.
You know, that's either a dick in a pint or a wank.
Anyway, I think we go with the bad ones because, you know, if you look bad and I laughed about it and you complained about it, yeah, they would stay. So I think mine should as well. Yeah. But anyway, congratulations to Simon Painter. He created the artwork. There's a BrewDog boss arranging a fee and we'll send some free beer to say thank you.
Yeah, nice.
Very nice.
I think what's so good about this is the fact that Simon's got in touch with the design here and everyone's piling in with the strap lines and advertising ideas, slogans, everything. And it's got to the stage now where they're lobbing out beers and little fees and things like that for the design of this and making it happen.
That's just so amazing, I think, about this podcast. Like, fella here, Simon, who's designed something, drew it, and it could potentially be all over the country on cans.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine he's gone and designed, like, it's mad that this would be the design. But can you imagine, like, people actually start buying this stuff? And that was his design on the front of
it. In his bedroom.
We should get him on to explain through the design, though, because I think here's the thing. We're all interpreting stuff that's in this picture. Mm. Like, we should ask him why you're wearing abs pants. Why has he imagined you with really hairy legs?
Yeah.
Why can't you see my right hand? You know, what's
going
on?
He might have reasons for all of this.
Let's go through a few of these strap lines that we've been sent. We'll see if we've got anything to work with. I'll start from Alex. Try the new Loat, a smooth blend of lager and stout into one refreshing beverage. Nobody wants to be parched.
It feels a bit long, that, boys, if I'm honest. It says 3 to 9 words. One word, surely. Parched? Question mark. That's the billboard.
Yeah, I think that's the billboard.
I saw someone suggest that. I thought that was the nut.
I saw a good billboard, though, I have to say. Have you seen this one? Lager and stout. And Crouchy has more assistance goals.
Yeah. It's got a stat in it as well. That's got that signed off.
Another one here. Lager and stout and Mike Dean slaughters chickens.
Yeah. Also true.
They're good billboards though, aren't they?
Yeah, sensational.
I've got this one here from Glenn. He says, Loat, a unique beer with nout taken out.
I don't know what that means. How about this one from Harry? Just says perfect when you're parched.
Yeah, it's that's good. I think that's what BrewDog are about, isn't it, as well? Like, it's like proper beers for proper people.
I think the parched thing's an open goal, for want of a better phrase.
What about one from Terry? Don't be parched, have a Loat.
Yeah, it's good. I get that. It's just along the same lines, isn't it, as Harry with perfect when you're parched. Not the one, though, unfortunately. Jay Jones is one. Give your old beer a boot and pick up a Loat.
Good.
That works.
Yeah. That's good.
Final one for this episode from Ben.
He says, I'm a professional copywriter, but you can have this one for free. If the strapline for Laoute isn't a beer of two halves, then something's gone wrong. That is very, very good, Ben.
That is good. That is good.
Too professional? Potentially.
Last series, we asked for Dragon's Den ideas to be sent into the podcast to see if we could turn something from a listener's imagination into reality. This is where Tom from near Glasgow got in touch and Spray and Aze was born.
Yeah, one of my favourite ideas is this Dragon Den. I mean, so much incredible entrepreneurs out there I've found. And Tom from near Glasgow was by far the most imaginative.
Yeah, and you guys really got behind this. It was a great idea. The idea being mayonnaise that was sprayable. Spray and Aze was born. And we obviously talked about this quite a lot. And we've got to address this.
We can't not.
I mean, I'm getting hundreds of messages from people linking me to videos and photos of what looks like Spray and Aze, but it's been called Mayo Mousse.
Yeah, it's a strong case of Mayo Housery.
Well,
here.
It is, isn't it? And by the way, this is not an advert. Like, it's almost the opposite of. We have nothing to do with this. And I think what pisses me off slightly is, doors open here. We could have made Spray and Aze a thing.
I feel like Tom from near Glasgow has been cheated out of millions.
I've got to agree with that.
He came up with an idea and it's been taken on by someone who's omitted him from the idea. And Tom's up there, you know. I mean, God knows what he thinks of it.
The thing I think with Tom as well is that is such a good idea. With any entrepreneur, what's next? Tom makes his first few million doing this and then what's next? He could have changed the world.
But what lesson does this send to Tom near Glasgow? Because my thing is, it's like he may well have more in his locker, but... You know, why should he if he's going to be housed like this? If it feels like the worst case of Mayo housery I think has probably ever existed.
Well, I don't think there was a case before or after of Mayo housery, but it's definitely the worst one that I know of.
I don't want to say the door's closed on this. Like, if they want to reach out and sort of have these discussions about doing this properly, because from my point of view, they're doing something really half-assed here. It's Spray and Aze.
I think we make our own.
And that's the other route we could go with this.
I think we make our own.
You reckon? My thing is, I just feel like we got so close to the vision of Tom near Glasgow. By the way, where is he from? Like, we always say near Glasgow. We never actually know. He's just near Glasgow.
Well, he's still, what is it, like Edinburgh?
Tom near Glasgow. Bless. Like, I don't think we're giving your town enough credit, mate.
Falkirk? Like, where's he from?
Poor Tom. He's always just been Tom near Glasgow. Like, we can do better than that. But what we're going to do, Tom, is... Look, we don't need to be silly about this. We all know we've got Spray and Aze. They've got Mayo Mousse. If they want to have a proper discussion about it, no one wants Mayo Mousse.
Sounds boring,
they want
doesn't
Spray
it?
Proper and Aze, boring, don't they? I'm half tempted to say anyone who sees the reels that we keep getting tagged in, just whack Crouchy's email address underneath it. What is it?
It's peter.crouch@acast.com.
Right, maybe they'll get the hint.
Nothing else, right? Don't say Spray and Aze. Don't say, what the hell's this? Just go, just bang the email in and we'll make Tom a billionaire.
Guys, what is fast becoming one of my favourite bits of the podcast is when we get a listener on to advertise something. So we set this up because obviously there's adverts on this podcast and it only makes sense that you guys can come on. We've got masses of people who listen to this and it's just a good excuse for you to come on and advertise anything that you want. And you guys have been amazing with this. You've advertised a printer. We've had an advert for a filing cabinet. You even helped a listener sell a flat. So Crouchy, I know that you're going to be very excited about what this advert could be. Have a listen to this week's advert from Ryan.
All right, Chris and Crouchy, it's Ryan here, and I'm looking to sell my mini fridge. I bought it last year because I had a car of a housemate who would help themselves to my drinks. But I've since moved to my own flat, that's not a problem anymore, and now the fridge is just collecting dust. So I want to move it on to someone who's ready to chill stronger. So it's red, holds 6 cans, 330 ml, so good for a pack of oats and a half. It's got a polar bear on the front, a popular beverage brand, has a decent fud to it. I'd like about £40.
Mini fridges are great. I think they're one of those things you buy and you really enjoy them for a day or two, then you suddenly start thinking, I could do with the space actually more than the mini.
Really? I've got one.
And then you've got one in.
I've got one in my room. It's like a big TV room. So I've got a giant TV in there, like a couch. It's a bit like my room. I've got the Marshall guitar amp fridge. That. And like, it's just nice. Like if I, in that room, I could shut the world away. Like, and I watch the football and stuff and, or a film. And I've got a few beers in that amp. All I need is a urinal really in that room and I'm pretty sorted. I don't need to come out, but I haven't got a urinal, but the amp fridge for me is a fantastic piece in the house.
So that's what I'd love.
Ab doesn't like it.
Bit of an open call here to a brand I'd love to get involved in this podcast, because I do think we could link up in a number of different ways. Armitage Shanks.
Right.
And like, if we could get a urinal put in your
best, I mean, your Rolls Royce of urinals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think like, no, but you think, like, obviously a lot of people listen to this use urinals. I just feel it's a good place to pass the pod.
50% of the population.
It'd be great if you are listening from Armitage Shanks, it'd be great to get you involved.
Armitage Shanks, we'd love to have you on board, because there's nothing better than an Armitage Shanks.
Boys, so much fun today. Dave, it started with a gooch and talk of the gooch and ended up with Armitage Shanks and a few beers in. Some great ideas for the Laoute. It just all feels like it's come together today.
Feels like a real journey. We've gone from gooch to urinal and then back to the gooch again.
I always feel like it's something to ponder. I'll get on to Jennifer Lopez now.
I think it's fair to say as well, as much as Bat Stronger is obviously a huge slogan for this podcast, I think Chumbawamba is really creeping in as well.
Really is, yeah. You know, we get knocked down, but we get up again. It's a similar vibe to Bat Stronger. Chumbawamba, everyone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to aloadofpricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to aloadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, load of pricks.net.